This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next-door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy. Your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Thank you for listening. Our next guest with Tass and myself is Lawrence Gibbons, publisher of Star Observer. Good morning, Lawrence.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Great to have you on the airwaves, Lawrence. It's Tass here. Thank you for joining us this morning. And I know it's almost the end of the year. And thank you for your time. Lawrence, we're particularly interested in what readers enjoyed listening during the course of the year. Can you give us a bit of a snapshot, a bit of an overview of what were some of the most popular stories and the things that actually grabbed our community's interest?
Sure. So, in anticipation of your asking this question, I went into the back end of our website and looked up what the most popular stories were with our readers, what got the most hits. And thanks for making me do that because it was interesting to have an overview. And what I'd say in advance of giving you the greatest hits rundown is that. The website is only one portion of our total audience, and that what we find in publishing the Star Observer is that we actually have distinct audiences, and the people that go to the website are different from the audience that we have in print, which is different from the audience that we have in Facebook. So keeping that in mind, what I'd say is that that during this awful, dreadful, disgusting, despicable year, the things that remain.
Do you want to say that again, popular, by the way?
Yeah. Awful, disgusting, despicable, and any other adjective you want to throw into it. Generally, just a bummer of a year. What worked on our website, interestingly enough, had absolutely no relationship to the pandemic as a general rule. And it seems like the kinds of things that people were reading online during the pandemic were pretty much the kinds of things that they were reading before. And so those were basically stories of misery and pain. I mean, we have a cliche in the publishing business, which is that if it bleeds, it reads.
Yes.
And, you know, the number one story for people coming to the Star Observer website was a story that we did way back in January of this year, which was headlined "Drag Queen Storytime Disruptor."
Yes.
Gavin dead.
Yes,
of course everyone remembers. It was a horrific story, and it has and not to in any way make light of the tragic story and circumstances. The story clearly ticked all of the boxes of interest to our readers.
Lawrence, what does that say about the readers, though? What does that say about our community?
Well, see, I don't think that you can. I'd be cautious to say that our community and the readers of the Star Observer are any different from the readers of media in general, and that these kinds of stories do well across all platforms. But I suppose that in terms of our online readership, I think that those kinds of stories get attention because they're sensational, because they tug at a lot of competing interests, right? I mean, for those who don't remember, Gavin was a young liberal who was basically very outspoken in his opposition to gay marriage. He stormed a gathering of drag queens who were reading stories to kids in Brisbane, and the backlash that came at him was so severe that he took his own life.
Yeah.
And so it's very tragic, it's a sensational story. But I suppose that what it says is that this kind of you know, sensational story is good for our numbers.
Lawrence,
online.
Is it possible for me to then say that our community is not any different to any other community of consumers of media? You know, if it doesn't bleed, people won't read it. Attitude, perhaps, that is symptomatic of our communities as well. We like a bit of sensationalism.
Well, that's right. And look, I mean, and as much as we want to say that the world has changed because of digital consumer trends, I mean, yellow journalism, sensationalist stories are how newspaper publishers sold copies back at the turn of the 20th century. So it's nothing new. What's interesting to me though is that the things that we put in the print edition, which are more earnest stories, which are stories about the community, which are stories about diversity. Those stories are received very well on that platform. And so in a certain sense, in print, the way that we're approaching our readers is fundamentally different. And the expectations that people have about what they're going to get out of that product is different. And so if you're picking up a print edition of the Star Observer, you know, that monthly, you want to have an overview of what's happening in the community, the issues, et cetera. Whereas when you're looking at a website, you're everything is competing for your attention. It's a very, oh my God, let's click on this, right? And then to throw the other thing into the mix, of course, social media and Facebook has an even more visceral response. And so, like, one story that did particularly well on Facebook that did not in any way track on in terms of reader numbers was the whole story about Mardi Gras crowding at the party and the Mardi Gras being forced to give refunds because of overselling the party. So that really engaged the community, but people didn't necessarily click on the story to read it, right? Everyone had an opinion. They were all arguing with each other. And, you know, and of course that's great for the numbers, but it's not necessarily driving people to our website.
Wow.
So it's all a great and wonderful mix.
I think one of the challenges, Lawrence, is, you know, Joy is independent media. Star Observer is independent media. You know, we're not part of Channel 9. We're not part of News Corps, spelt C-O-R-P-S-E. And, you know, it's up to us, but, you know, independent media is also, people need to remember, it is a platform for opinions, and it is a platform for a particular way of reporting. And it's almost impossible to take an opinion out of an on-air interview, to take it out of an online article, to take it out of a print article, and to even take it out of social media on the Book of Faces. So, again, people need to understand that, you know, the reason your organisation and your platform exists is because, one, you have the support of sponsors, advertisers, and people read it. Because if people don't read it, guess what? Ultimately, you don't exist. But people need to people need to understand that independent means independent. And that's...
Yeah.
You know, that's why it's so important.
Well, and look, it's the Star Observer is one of those rare LGBTQI legacy publications that's been around for 41 years. It along with a handful of other publications around the globe, comes out of the gay liberation movement of the 70s and has really stood. The community has embraced and stood by it through a whole reiteration of ownership structures and, you know, media platforms. it's there to serve and report on the news of the LGBTQI community. And I think that the other thing that's interesting in terms of our community is the diversity and range of opinions within the broad church, and that you have to be open to accepting that there are liberal gays and there are radical gays, and that there are that the L, the G, the B, the T, the Q, and the I, right, all have their own competing interests and agendas, and that how you orchestrate that and how you allow people to have their opinions while at the same time keeping your numbers up and serving the advertiser's interests, well, that's the business of local publishing. And
that's right. Lawrence, we're almost out of time, so we are going to have to call it quits. But we have enjoyed our discussions with you, and we are look forward to having many more in the new year, of course. Keep the great work up. Keep up the great independent journalism. We do enjoy occasionally being able to tap into some of the stories and some of your writers as well, and we'll continue to do that in the new year. In the meantime, best wishes to you, the people you love, the people around you for the new year and for the coming season.
Happy New Year, gentlemen, and please, everyone, read the Star Observer.
Good on you.
Take care. Have a great New Year. Thank God this one's over.
Yes.
Bye.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.